Hello, my name is Peter Ayala, and you're listening to Voices of Barrendo. My co-host John Gomez and I want to connect our school community together during this time of separation by mixing sound bites and pieces of audio from your voices. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for ways you can contribute your voice and ideas to future episodes. Thank you for joining me.
Buddy, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Let me get some of your thoughts. How have you been doing?
I've been doing okay. You know, it's given me a chance to kind of slow down in life, which is something that I desperately needed. Although I'm very clear to always say that I don't like the context that it's happening in. You know, if my life had to go back to being crazy and it meant that we didn't have COVID, that'd be fine. But yeah, exactly. A silver lining of it all has been that I've been able to, you know, slow down a little bit and kind of delve into some things that I've enjoyed, man. How are you and your family?
We're doing good. Same thing. I think it was funny because I was sharing this story with some family. But the first couple of weeks, you know, my son's only, he's about to be two. So what does he know? He just knows life as it happens every day. But the first couple of weeks, man, he was so excited. He's like, you know, flipping out that mom and dad are here every day. And then I think he got his fill of that. And all of a sudden, one day he just woke up and he was telling us to go to work and for grandma to come and play. And like, we didn't know what to say. We just started laughing, you know? I mean, it was such an innocent thing to say, but it was so funny. It was touching too. I mean, of course he loves us being here, but just the gesture of him being like, you know what, I need to change up this routine. this is boring the heck out of me. You guys need to go to work. You're okay. I know you love me. You're fine.
I'll be okay too.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's sweet.
But we're at that point right now where he's just taking this as a new reality, I guess. Where we're all here at home, and some days mom and dad have to work in the morning and some days we don't. And it's been fun. You know, I don't know if I told you this, but the one thing that has been amazing is since we've been home, his language has just exploded.
Huh.
So just picking up words, using words, putting them in sentences, creating his own sentences. So that's been awesome.
Yeah, in the realm of speech and language pathology, that's called fast mapping. You go through this thing called the language explosion when you're two or around two. You know, every kid goes through it to some extent. But it's the biggest time of language acquisition in your entire life. And you're able to hear things and immediately put them to use. And I'm just contrasting that with like how hard it is for me now. You know, like there was a word the other day, ideologue. I don't even know if you know what an ideologue is, but I looked it up and I had to look it up like three times to just remember it and hope to use it one of these days. Cause I heard somebody else use it and I'm like, oh, that sounds like a interesting thing to use.
Yeah. Actually, you know what I want to ask you is there is something that he's been doing and it's so cute. It's hard for me to correct, but then I'm not sure if I should correct or not. I mean, we have been on occasion just because we feel like maybe we shouldn't let it slide, but he's been, like I said, he's been creating his senses. And there are times where he'll just say, see me like garbage truck or see me toy instead of changing the me to my. And it just sounds so cute because he says, see me. It just is just funny. But what do you think? Should I be correcting that or?
Well, you know, I mean, if he's Popeye, that's perfectly normal, right? I'm spinach. I think you can probably model for him the correct way to do it, but my guess model, is that he's just going to acquire that over time, you know? Right now, for kids, you know, language is just a functional thing. They truly just want to communicate. So nobody's at that age thinking about the art of it. You know, how does it sound or what does it sound like or is this the right thing to do? It's just, if I say these words, if I put these out into the world, I'm going to get what I want.
Right.
So that's all he knows, you know, but certainly in time, you know, he'll make grammatical corrections and all that stuff too.
It's a gesture. He uses it as a gesture, like when he wants to bring somebody into his whatever social circle that he understands in his mind. It's like his way of like creating that bridge. So he brings the things that mean something to him and he shows that to somebody else. And that's his way of like building that social bridge or whatever. So he'll bring things and he'll say, and he only does that in that instance.
Huh.
It's like a social gesture interaction that he, I don't know where he got that from, but so like anytime that he wants to show some love to my mom over the video chat, you know, cause we're doing like video chats right now. And anytime he wants to like gesture to her that he misses her, or he'll just bring over his things and be like, see, well, he doesn't say my, see me garbage, because his favorite toy right now is a garbage truck.
Uh-huh.
So it's just kind of funny.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think, you know, the bigger thing is that he wants to share and like make connections. I think that's awesome. Already, you know, I mean, that's what we do throughout our lives, right? I mean, you and I connect on a lot of different levels, but, you know, we'd be lying if we said we didn't connect on something like Star Wars. Dum, dum, dum.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, speaking of connections, I wanted to kind of preface what we're going to hear in a minute. But this is episode one of this little project that we started, and it's funny that we're starting with kind of like a flashback. I have a literacy coach, a social worker, counselor, a special ed teacher, and a sixth grade history and English teacher. So they're going to give us all their thoughts on.
I think it's great that this is being documented. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people in many different ways are documenting it, but you know, this is going to be a watershed moment in all of our lives. You know, I was in New York when 9/11 happened.
And were you?
Yeah. I was out there at the time pursuing acting of all things. And I was working at a hotel and it happened while I was on my shift. And I ended up staying there for several days in a row, you know, to both work and stay because it wasn't safe to go back home. And I thought that was going to be like the big, you know, watershed moment in my life. Mm-hmm. And I got to say that I think it's probably going to be this.
I'd have to agree with you. I mean, let's see, going back to 9/11, I was hanging drywall. I know this is hard to believe, but I was hanging drywall and doing framing on the 33rd floor of the Wells Fargo building in downtown LA. And that happened, and I thought that was kind of like such a surreal moment where they thought the next attack was going to happen in LA, so they had shut down everything immediately, evacuated the whole city. So it was crazy. And then last year I thought that was such a weird feeling of going on strike and being off of work for 7 days, that whole experience, not knowing what was going to happen. So I don't think anything could top that. And this whole thing has kind of been, well, I mean, we're still in the middle of it. We don't even know where it's leading.
Yeah. You know, and it's obviously, you know, during family discussions, not so much with my friends. You choose your friends, right? So you and your friends tend to be more or less like-minded. It's not always the case, but I know within my family, we've been very kind of divided about how we feel about it. And largely it's along political lines, you know, and I don't know how all of this got politicized, but it is. And so it's led to, you know, not major strife, but a little bit of strife, at least within my family. Oh, hey, I just wanted to put this out. I live in a very lively neighborhood. So if you hear music honking or the ice cream man, even roosters going by, that's why.
Oh my God. I'm glad you brought that up, though, because that does make me think of, well, I guess, I don't know, maybe I have rose-colored glasses on when I think of my memories of 9/11 and how it felt that the our country was more united
Right.
culturally. I don't know. Or am I wrong in that?
I think you're right. I think you're 100%
Okay.
right. I think everybody was kind of behind President Bush at the time. The nation was galvanized. The newspapers were behind him. I remember having that feeling. The interesting thing about being in New York at that time too was, New Yorkers get a bad rap. A lot of times people take their behavior to be rude. And I say that it's probably more to the point. Life is just happening faster out there and people want to get to the point. But I noticed that after that, people were just a lot more courteous to one another. They took the time to smile, hold the door for one another, things that, typically didn't happen. And then, a few months later, we kind of bounced back. But I think we're going to have a little bit of a honeymoon period after this as well, where people just treat each other differently and value each other in a different way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's take a listen, and then after we hear some of these clips, we're going to have a really nice interview with a special person from Barrendo who is doing a lot of good work with the, you've heard of the grab and go centers
Yeah.
for LUC. So let's take a listen, and then we'll be right back.
I think on March 13th, everything happened so fast that I didn't really even have time to process anything. I was just focusing on the safety of my students and the safety of my family and wanting to make sure that everyone got a digital device so that we could stay connected. Now that it's been a while, I think that we're still working on staying connected and finding new ways to communicate and to still really be a community, even though we need to be physically apart.
Hi, this is Mr. B, a sixth grade English and history teacher at Barrendo. And when schools first closed in March, I wasn't too sure of what was going to happen. I thought it was going to be maybe 2 weeks of the school closing, and then we'll return and everything will be back to normal. But now, as the virus spread all over, it's more serious, and we have to be more cautious, and we all have to do our part and stay healthy and to try to get through this together.
Hi, this is Miss Godin. I am the seventh grade counselor at Barrendo, and I'm asked how I was feeling on March 13th. I was actually feeling a little confused and uncertain, and I think a little bit nervous about what was happening in our community and our state and in the country and in the world. Now that what we know about this COVID-19 pandemic and how I feel today is that I feel sad because I do miss going to work every day. I do miss seeing kids. I miss seeing, the families that come in. I miss seeing my coworkers. But I know this is the right thing that we all need to do.
This is Ms. Lafarge, proud PSW. So when I found out that school was closing, I was shocked, upset, and a little scared. It was pretty unexpected, and it all happened so fast. I know that when unexpected things happen, it's super common to have a strong reaction and to feel a bunch of different emotions all at once. So I made sure to remind myself that it was okay to feel these things and that there really is no right or wrong way to feel. What I found most helpful in managing my feelings is to be kind to myself and to do small things to feel better. So, in other words, I've been practicing healthy coping. I've been talking to loved ones about how I feel, listening to music, and trying out mindfulness practices. So, today I feel more accepting of this new situation, but difficult emotions still pop up for me. I do feel upset and frustrated some days in certain moments, but when this happens, I am kind to myself. and I take time to practice healthy coping.
My name is Eric Winzenried, and I'm a special education teacher at Berendo Middle School. On March 13th, when we were asked to leave, vacate, I felt in a state of shock, rushed, hurried, couldn't believe this was happening. It just seemed really unreal. And even to this day, on April 23rd, I still feel just in a state of shock and not knowing what's going to happen. But at the same time, I'm trying to do the best for my family, my friends, my students, and just trying to navigate this new world in which we live in.
I think we all had a deep sense of confusion in the beginning, you know, and none of us really expected for this to happen. But I do want to say this, you know, because we talk at school all the time, you thought that this could be a possibility, an emerging possibility. And I remember telling you at the time, oh, no way. And also Winzenried. And you said, no, you know, I think it's entirely possible that they might close down school for a couple of weeks and kind of build that into spring break. And then we come back after that, which, you know, we all thought was an overstatement at the time. And we never thought that that was going to be an understatement. You know, because obviously the school year has been called now, you know, if we're lucky, we'll be back in August. But you knew.
Actually, I think I was being pretty optimistic and thinking we were going to be back right after spring break or some extension or something like that. Honestly, I didn't even think that we would be out until June. I just thought, you know, this will pass over. We'll be out for a bit and then we'll be back. But having no answers right now, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, you know, 2020 is always perfect. So what did I think? Yeah, I relate it to all of them. I mean, you know, Winzenried is somebody I communicate with a lot as well. And just, yeah, the kind of the confusion behind it all, you know, and people start getting pretty apocalyptic, you know, if you talk to friends and people say, like, what's going on right now? You know, it feels like The Walking Dead, you know, what's going on?
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't feel like it seemed like there were much, much bigger forces at work. And now that we've kind of settled into it a bit, you know, we kind of understand at least a path forward, you know, that we're going to need additional testing. Obviously, eventually we're going to get a vaccine, whenever that is. Herd immunity and all of these other things that are going to help us out. But yeah, at the time, that's unprecedented. None of us had ever gone through anything like this. Not even close.
I like hearing positive spins, though. How some people are always trying to find like the positive perspective on, I'm continuing to talk to myself in a positive way, or I'm continuing to motivate myself to do this. I'm continuing to learn that. That's cool.
Yeah. I think all that stuff is important. You know, one of the things I guess, because, you know, we are all playing the part of counselor these days, is to try to not, you know, reframe things in a positive light too quickly for some people, you know, to tell them, yeah, you're going through a tough time, but at least you have this. You know, I might feel that way personally, but I've been trying to let people kind of just vent. You know, just the process of venting alone is something that's kind of healing. But it is interesting to just hear all the different reactions.
Did you learn that from somewhere? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I teach a counseling course for speech therapists in particular, and, you know, counseling as it pertains to communication disorders as part of our scope of practice. So one of the things they tell us to do is, you know, just don't be too quick to reframe something in a positive light. You know, the fact that somebody has to get something off their chest and vent is a very important part of the healing process. In fact, most people can't even begin to take in information to begin to quote unquote fix a problem until they've vented. So the venting process, you know, is very important. Now that can go on for a long time too. I mean, eventually you want to turn that venting into, you know, some more productive behavior. But in the beginning, it's very important.
Let me ask you a serious question. Did you put pants on today?
You know what? I put on sweat shorts. And these have been my salvation in the last 6 weeks.
Well, I changed in from my daytime sweats to my nighttime sweats. So that's good. Now I need to pick up some formal sweats for like Zoom meetings and I'll be set.
Yeah, that's right. As long as
do they sell formal? Can you find formal sweats? That'd be amazing.
Peter, believe it or not, I own a pair of formal sweats. It's like this really stretchy material. You know, it's a sports coat. It's basically made out of sweat material, but it's fashioned like a sports coat. So yeah, you can get away with it, especially online.
All right, let me ask you another question. This one actually is serious. Tell me if you can take a guess how many meals LUSD has served up until this point with their grab-and-go centers.
Oh, my God.
What do you think?
I know no matter what it is, I'm going to be way off.
Take a guess.
200,000.
200,000. Okay, 200. That's good. But that would be commendable, don't you think? 200,000?
Yeah.
If they had served 200,000.
Yeah.
That would be really commendable. I think that would be something to be proud of.
Absolutely.
200,000. As of April 20th, they had served 10 million.
Oh my God.
10 million. And I remember the first week we had been talking about this, our school was reporting, I think they hit like 9,000 or something like that by the end of the first week. Mm-hmm. And that was like a big deal. Everybody's like, 9,000. Oh my gosh. As of April 20th, 10 million.
Wow.
10 million. And to think that, I don't even know how that functions or works or anything, but you know, you hear about these other states and these food banks going dry and people are standing in lines for hours and, just the fact that this is working at that scale shows you what type of infrastructure our district has when it comes to serving meals.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the big question right now, right? You know, when are we going to open back up? And one of the most compelling reasons to open back up society is to get schools going again, you know, because schools serve such an important function, not just education, right? But in this case, we're talking about meals that are much, much needed in some communities. And then
this actually has branched out. Sorry to cut you off, but this has branched out to, while I was reading about it, because they're not refusing households.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just students anymore. And on average, they're serving households of six.
Wow.
So that's how they're hitting those numbers. It's crazy. I'm sorry to cut you off. What were you going to say?
No, brother. No, that's fine. No, that's commendable. You know what I mean? That's exactly, we should be rock solid for our communities. No, and I was just going to say, you know, the last thing is, you know, we also serve the function of, you know, taking care of people's kids during the day. You know, we're not just educating them, but we're giving, you know, people an opportunity to go out and pursue their careers. And now parents are, you know, stuck at home for a number of reasons, but, you know, part of that is childcare and also to educate their kids. And I think it just kind of reminds everybody of how essential schools are and the huge role they fill in people's lives beyond even educational purposes.
That's true. We wanted to highlight actually one person, Brando's very own, Erica Wilson, who has been working at one of these grab-and-go centers since day one.
Yeah.
She was like one of the first people to sign up and got in. You know, they closed down registration, like, I think it was 2 or 3 days later because they already filled all the positions. Right. So she's been there. And she'll go through all the details. So let's take a listen at that interview, and then we can give our thoughts.
Okay. Again.
I'm not going to read any of these notes. Pretty much, I do have a couple. I wrote down a couple of things mainly because just to kind of like lead into things. But
okay.
Just so anybody who's listening knows who you are. Do you want to start there?
Sure.
Okay. And then, yeah, we'll just go from there. So, just your name.
Oh, right now.
It's already. So, your name and then your role at Brando.
Okay. So, my name is Erica Wilson. I am a special ed assistant. I work currently in the resource department with Carmen Avendano and Eric Winsenried and Josh Scheib.
And you've been there, I think you've been there, were you working there before I got hired, or has it been about at the same time? Because I've been there 6 years.
I was there before you got hired. I think I was there maybe about a year or two before you. Maybe about a year.
Yeah. Every now and then I've been reading the news, and every now and then they put out a story with the grab-and-go meals.
Mm-hmm.
And how people are working, teachers are working, all these different people are volunteering and everything. And I don't think a lot of people know that you're involved. So I think that is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was something that, that was one of my biggest concerns. There was a lot of things that popped up in my mind as we were getting ready to shut down the school and then eventually the district, was just that I know one of the things that we like to have around, that we keep around, is just food, because, that keeps students engaged. It keeps them from having to think about the fact that they're hungry, things that. And so I was okay, if we're sending them home and, a lot of them, especially, the school that we work in, unfortunately, a lot of the students live in homes that are at or below the poverty line. It was just very concerning to me, how are they going to get food? And so, before, when there was ideas going around, okay, we're going to make sandwiches at our house, and then we're going to drive around to everybody's home and da 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 da. And I'm okay, but whatever it was, I wanted to make sure that I was on the front line to make sure that students were not without, as far as, food was concerned, So,
what was the process? How do you even get involved?
Well, so I don't even know what I was listening to, but I know I had heard something. So I think, we left on the Friday. I think by that Monday, there was some kind of conversation or something like that. Yeah. And so they were okay, you can go onto the LA Unified website and you can sign up, and you can go from there. And I know a lot of people, there was some of my colleagues that I was speaking to, and they're oh my God, I'm not going to do that. That sounds crazy, so on and so forth. And, I was just looking at this as an opportunity. I know for myself, I have to stay busy. And, having a one-year-old daughter, that keeps me busy enough, but I still have to be in a space that's a little bit more involved. Mm-hmm. And so I signed up. By that Wednesday, they assigned me to go to Obama Middle School. The process is that you sign up, they ask you, what district do you work in, or what local district do you work in? What local district do you want to volunteer in? What schools would you like to volunteer for if you have a preference? And then would you be willing to work somewhere outside of your preferences? Mm-hmm. So, I marked all that down, and then they put me at Obama Middle School. And so that first morning was crazy. It was chaotic because we were still trying to figure out how to service the community without actually making physical contact or getting closer than 6 feet, and then keeping away from each other as volunteers, because there was a lot of us.
I know, especially thinking about at the time too. That's what, over a month ago now. Yes. And there was, there's a lot of unknown now still happening, but that was even at the start of it. And I think a lot of people's tension and anxiety and stress about the whole situation was on a very, very high level. Probably, I'm just assuming.
It was super high. I've tried to be chill. My natural reaction to things is when, there's a high energy in one area, I tend to kind of go in the opposite direction as far as keeping my energy kind of low, to the point where people think I don't care. And it's not that I don't care, I'm just not trying to get all riled up. Because we did have a couple people at the site who did sign up and who showed up, but they were nervous, they were crying, they spent the whole entire day, the volunteering time, way off in an area where they weren't putting together any meals, they weren't you know, helping to put meals in the in people's vehicles or whatever it was that we were doing. Like, they were just like off in a corner, you
they
know,
were afraid.
They were terrified. Yeah. And I mean, understandably so. But yeah, they were absolutely like scared.
Yeah, no, I get it. What's interesting too about that is, you must have been one of the first ones to really get in, because I think, I don't even know if it was a day or two after, but they had closed off, didn't they close off the registration?
They did.
It became like a full on, it was filled.
Yes. So initially, when I signed on, I just signed on, you know, just because I knew it needed to be done. But then they were like, okay, well, you know, they're offering this particular stipend, you know, and so then, you know, people were, you know, trying to figure out which way to be motivated if they want to take care of their health, or like, not to say that we're not doing anything that's unhealthy, but like the most healthiest thing at this particular point is staying at home and staying away from the unknowns outside. Right. But yeah, it got filled up really, really, really fast. And you know, it's gotten to a point. So initially they would have you come on for a week. They assigned you for a week to one school. And then now it's gotten to a point where, now they're assigning you for 2 weeks at the same site. So that way, you know, they can eliminate having to call every single last person in the district or whoever's on their volunteer roster, or whatever, and telling them like, okay, look, you have to go back to this school tomorrow. You have to go back to this school tomorrow, whatever.
Are you still at the same place?
No, actually I've changed to three different schools. So basically what they're doing is they're rotating. What I'm understanding about myself is that they are moving me around into places that need a little bit more like of a stronger personality and leadership skills. Mm-hmm. And so I've moved from Obama, and once that got, you know, squared away and looked like it was rolling in an appropriate direction, I was moved to Audubon Middle School. Mm-hmm. And then now I'm at Manual Arts. So I'll be at Manual Arts. I did 1 week at Manual Arts, and then next week I'll be at Manual Arts.
Initially, we thought we were going to do something at Berendo. This is before they even rolled that out.
Yes, I thought so too, but Berendo is also a site, and I did sign up to be at Berendo just because, you know, like, that's a place of familiarity for me. All these other schools, I mean, I don't live far from any of these schools, but like Berendo is like, you know, that's where I work, and so I wanted to be there. But I haven't been placed there, but I know a lot of people who are there, and they're, you know, really good people, and you know, they're doing a lot with the community, and they're, you know, they have people coming back and whatnot, so it's good.
Yeah, no. Major props to you for just putting yourself out there in general. I'm sure, knowing like what a chicken I am, I know every day I'd probably be like on, seriously, like high just stress. Like, I know once I'm pretty good, like once I get started on doing something, mm-hmm. and getting into it, mm-hmm. but it's always that like duality of like fighting with the thought in the back of your head, like, just stay back there. It's okay.
Right.
Just
right,
stay
right.
in the back of your head. You're fine. But it's still there, you know?
Right. Luckily, there have been, so all the schools that I've worked at, we've been really good as far as following like the, like keeping up with the current like guidelines and parameters of what you can and can't do, you know, while working and being outside. But I've heard, you know, pretty scary stories. And that's weird to say scary, because what I mean is like everybody touching the food and then, you know, running all over the place and making close contact with people in the car, you know, things like that. Or things not being unorganized, milk being out.
Can we go back to that? Let's go back a couple steps really quick. And
sure.
Because I was going to ask you that part too. So before we go ahead of, get ahead of ourselves, I wanted to know that process.
Uh-huh.
So what's the day like? Like, you show up and then.
Okay, so because it's changed since I first started, I can tell you what it is now, which is like the current practice, which would be like the best thing to keep everybody's mind at ease and not have them thinking, even though like what we were doing when I first started wasn't like, it was okay, but it's gotten way better as we've gone forward. So basically what happens, I've worked, and mind you, I've worked inside the cafeteria with helping to put together the meals and packaging them up so they can be ready to go to families. And then I've also been on the outside. So currently what they're doing is when you drive up to whatever particular site you're going to, there's going to be somebody that meets you underneath the tent. They ask you how many students are in your household, and then how many adults. And then once they get that number, they text that number, or they fill that number in on a tablet, and it goes to, you know, like people down the way that will actually like bag up your meals and all this other kind of stuff. And some schools have treats, like at Manual Arts, they were giving away books, like Billie Jean King, things like that. And they would have it ready for you so that you, you know, get out your car and you put it in yourself, or some sites I know they'll put it in your trunk.
If this is more advanced than I, you know, there's no running back and forth or anything like that. This is like,
as a matter of fact, the assembly system for Manual Arts and the distribution like process is so awesome. Like, there was a couple times like I stepped back just to kind of see it all work, because everybody is working so you know, inside the cafeteria, and that's where I've been working. There's an assembly line where everybody is separated by the lunch tables, you know, at least two lunch tables. They put together the three meals, either two meals with a large snack, or three meals, because we, you know, the kids would get breakfast, lunch, and then supper. And then the buildings and groundskeepers would use their carts to take the meals out to the people who are outside, actually distributing the food to the family. It's really awesome. I mean, I'm probably not describing it the best way. That's like
the shortest way. I could picture it. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking of the lame things in my life that I'm trying to like reference, like the whole In-N-Out thing where they do the tablet from the drive-thru.
Yes, as a matter of fact, and then that's almost exactly what it looks like, except the person at In-N-Out or Chick-fil-A, because that's another one that does that.
Yeah, the time.
They're a distance away from you. Okay. But they are like, that's pretty much how it goes. Outside of,
and you then know, the whole process that you're talking about, as far as do they ask you, do they ask the family, do you want it in the back seat? Do you want it in the trunk? They ask them that when they're,
it depends. Beginning, right? So at Obama, there was no choice. It was put it in the passenger side of the vehicle, because the cars were pulling up on the right side of the street. At Obama, there's actually a kind of a long driveway that splits the school in half. And so the cafeteria is on the driver's side of the vehicle. And so what tended to happen was the driver was given a choice of having their meals put in the passenger seat or backseat window or in their trunk. At Manual Arts, like I said, if you're driving up, you have to get out once they put your whole meal together. And I know that Obama is now doing this, is where they put, I mean, not Obama, Audubon. And I'm pretty sure Obama's doing this too, is where they're putting your whole meal together on a table, like that's kind of close to the end of the driveway, and you get your stuff and you put it in your car yourself, you know.
What was the energy like after, you know, like during that first week? What was the energy like when you were, like, I'm talking with the people that you're working with, you know, after the day is done and you had so many people come through?
It was actually pretty hype, because you know, we brought out some music just to keep us going. I was, of course, a little DJ. And then it's kind of interesting, because there's a video of me dancing around somewhere. They, like, people were coming up to me like, you went viral. You're the dancing volunteer, huh? And I'm like, the dancing volunteer? What are you talking about? There's some video of me at Obama dancing around, because I would take the number of meals. There's
always a video of you at Obama for some reason. Wasn't there a video of you at Obama last year when we went on strike?
No, that was that at Obama? No, it was at Berindo. It was at Berindo. But yeah, that's right. Yeah, true. Yeah, there's always something happening. But yeah, so like the people are coming up and they're like, oh my God, you're the dancing volunteer. Oh my God, you make us so happy. Thank you for being out here. Because I would be out there literally like dancing around. I keep the step, like, I'm pretty much like the hype the hype woman wherever we go. Like, we're going to keep the energy high. I know it's a scary time, but we don't have to live in like that state of perpetual fear. Like,
well, if you're there, yeah, if you're there, you're there.
Yeah, we're there. We've already committed. So why continue to be, you know, put more fear into the environment? And that fear, one of the things that I'm always kind of teased about is like people say, oh, you're really scary. You're jumpy. You know, that kind of stuff. And I said, you know, I do have fears. I'm not going to lie. I think everybody has certain fears. And if you don't, you know, that's fine. I said, but my thing with fear is that I look at it and yeah, it might be scary, but I go forward anyways. So, you know, and I'm going to make the best of the situation. So with us being out there, you know, it's the, if I can make people laugh, if I could keep people smiling, if I could keep their energy up, you know, as we're going through this time period, fine, then I'll do that. So, yeah.
No, yeah, definitely. What's the response been like from the families?
It's gotten to a point now, like, at almost every school, like, we know people on a, like, a first-name basis. Like, the kids, if they come in the car, which they shouldn't because they're supposed to be in somebody's class at the time that they're coming up, unless they come at, well, the time switched from 8 to 11, even though we have to be up there at 6:30, but still, at the time before that.
Well, they have to eat.
Yeah. But when the kids would come, you know, they would be, like, super happy, waving, you know, this one little girl made me a sign, you know, and she showed it to me. She didn't want to give it to me because she was like, I don't want you to catch one if I got it. I was like, oh, my God. But, yeah, she made me a sign. So, yeah, like the families have been, like, really awesome about it. I know there's some parents or people who pull up and, you know, you can tell, like, there's a lot of frustration that's coming with them from whatever environment that they left. And I can imagine, you know, because, I mean, you know, especially if you work in middle school, that's just like a handful in itself. But if, you know, if they're, you know, they're out of work and, you know, they've got these kids at home all the time and, you know, this and that and third going on, I can understand why they're not in the most receptive mood to be chipper or at least smile or whatever. So I get it. But for the most part, I mean, we have like the families, people that drive up there like smiling. You know, they're super, you know, they tell us thank you. They're super grateful at the fact that the district is doing this, that's providing this. So, yeah.
You know what that face is, too, is that face is just like the face of determination to survive. You know? That's probably the face I have when I go out to get groceries right now. Because, like, I just want to get the groceries. I don't want to be in small talk. I just want to go in there, get out, and go home.
Yeah.
And especially a lot of people, they don't, I mean, we don't even know what's going to happen.
Right.
So, and then you put in, you don't know if you're going to be able to pay your bills.
Right.
You have to go and get food.
Right.
And, I don't know. Crazy.
I mean, the thing
Go ahead. No.
I was going to say, like, I mean, I've been to, like, tried to go to some of these stores. Like, I generally have to keep my shopping down to, like, the weekend because, of course, everybody's at home now, I've gone into the stores, and some of these store lines are, like, ridiculous, or just trying to find certain things. So, yeah, like, I can understand all that frustration. But anyways, what were we going to ask?
I was going to say, we went low on tortillas one time, and then normally I buy, like, a whole pack from Costco, right? So, for some reason, they're all sold out. This is a couple weeks ago. So then I was picking something up somewhere, and there was an El Super, like, right next door. I'm like, I'll just walk in and check it out. Of course, they're not sold out.
Man.
I know. The whole thing was, like,
look,
big time stocked. I'm like, why am I even bothering, like, going to... Of course, they're not going to be sold out tortillas. They need... Like, people are going to buy the tortillas where they need to buy them.
Look.
I mean, I guess certain places are going to be stocked on certain things. It's just weird that the Target and the Costco near our house in Alhambra, they're trying to act like this is some apocalyptic nightmare or something. Like, every shelf is empty. I don't understand why.
I was going to say the same thing, because in the beginning, what happened was that Friday, before we, like, shut the whole school down, like, I was real chill. I was like, you know what? This is something that's been blown out of proportion. I think it's going to, like, die down. Da, 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 da. I do keep enough food in the house. Like, I don't like to run out of stuff. But I did wind up going down to that little Korean market that's at the corner of, you know, down the street from our job. And, you know, I picked up, you know, I got some beans and rice and some canned goods, things like that, even though, like, I have all that stuff, but I got more of it. But yeah, like when I did start to try and go to like more name brand stores, you know, Pavilions, Ralph's, things like that, I couldn't find anything. But then I did same thing. I wound up going, there's a El Gigante, like a couple blocks away from my house, and then a Superior on the other side. And I went into both, and all the stuff I was like running around the city trying to find, I was sweating and getting frustrated that I was going to find it. I was going to be like, no, forget this. I'm not going to, if we don't have it, we don't have it. We don't need it. But like both stores had everything. And so I was, well, except for, of course, like the wipes, the toilet paper, sanitizer, and the one thing
actually
that drove me crazy was trying to find baby wipes.
I know. No, I feel you. That's
yeah.
I can't even remember how I think I went around town stalking like every Target, mm-hmm. and then I just got lucky. I think that's what happened. And then I bought like the last three boxes or something that was on the shelf. No, I was going to ask you about that. I'm glad you pointed that. What is, so going back to your process of the mm-hmm. day, and now I'm trying to picture your whole come home, like...
Oh, man.
Do you have a routine? Yes. Like, do you have a routine?
Yes. So, because both me and Big Jordan work, like, my mom is watching my daughter, but she was watching my daughter beforehand, like, during the time when I was at work and things like that. But what I do, so it's weird because when I would come home before, you know, I would come in and I would take off like the upper layer of clothes that I had, like if I had on a jacket or whatever, or a head wrap, and I would pick her up and play with her like immediately because she knows the sound of the door. She's looking if she can't see me, she's rustling, you know, my mom to get away from her to come to the front door. Now, so what I have to do now is as soon as I come in the house, I have to make a beeline to the bathroom, take all my clothes off, take a shower, put on some fresh clothes. I leave my shoes outside and I have a bleach solution where I spray them down and leave them out in front of the unit until they're like dry. And then I bring them in.
Yeah. I'm glad you have your own. I'm just saying that because I didn't want to feel like I was going insane with me having a routine. So I have something similar where I come in. We have like a one doorway is like our exit, and the other doorway is our uh-huh. entrance, like desanitation little area where I take everything, put everything on the floor, get out the Lysol, mm-hmm. spray everything yep. down, then I change and. It's like a weird type of mentality of being, though.
Right. Yeah. I mean, who's like, I normally, you know, at some point throughout the day, a shower is going to happen. But I'm talking about as soon as I come in the house, like, and she used to get frustrated. Now she knows, my daughter knows that I'm not going to pick her up as soon as I can't even come in and give her a kiss like I used to. Like, I have to go straight to the bathroom and take a shower, and then I put those clothes, like, I have to wash, like, I keep enough clothes around so that I can wash and not feel like I'm, you know, wasting water by washing the clothes that I just put on that day, but yeah.
Yeah.
And then I come out, and then I play with her, and, you know, we have the rest of the day to be together, but usually when I walk in, she's about to fall asleep, because she falls asleep, like, at, between 11:30 and 12, and so I tell my mom, like, please just keep her up. If she tries to fall asleep at 11:30, because we don't stop working until 11:30, but I'm just, like I said, a couple blocks up the street from where I work, and so I'm like, you just mm-hmm. keep her up so we can see each other, you know.
Yeah.
And then yeah. you know, then she goes to sleep.
Well, thank you for joining me. Thank you for taking the time, and really much, much love to you for volunteering and doing all that. I mean, I'm telling you, like, I'm sure you're already getting a lot of appreciation, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of families that are going to remember.
I mean, thank you for
that whole experience.
Thank you for having me on and doing this. I mean, this is fun. Like, if you guys want me back on, I'm willing. Easy.
Hopefully, this is the type of conversations that I love to have. And so I told you in the beginning, I'm like, you know what, I need to get out of, I think initially I was starting with writing every stupid little thing down, and then I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to have like a little outline and then see where it goes, and I think it turned out really well. So
right.
Really, really thankful for you taking the time. I know you have a lot of going on, but once I tie it all together, I'll let you hear the whole thing. Okay, so what did you think about that?
Well, I mean, to start with, Erica Wilson is a personal friend of mine and I love her. She's like, she's Wonder Woman to me. She's awesome, like in every possible way, extremely intelligent, funny, loves comic books, and like is an Olympic athlete basically, and a fashion icon, I might add. But I don't think I understood the extent of it. I mean, I knew the grab and go stations were certainly happening. I don't think I had been thinking much about them, you know. As a speech pathologist, we've been kind of working on our own things over here, but it sounds like they have had to learn a lot. They've had a lot of special considerations, and it sounds like, as usual, she's brought a lot of light and entertainment into people's lives. So it was eye-opening. It was interesting.
That's one thing that's always been like a certain characteristic of her personality, though. She's always wanted to be that person that is involved. You know, she's always been the type to like just jump into something and wanting to put a helping hand in whatever's going on. So I mean, I wasn't surprised that she wasn't that she was going to sign up, but I had a lot of fun with that. It was a nice talk. I'm glad we had that, because not seeing everybody for this long, it was nice to kind of just sit down and be like, hey, let's have this conversation. And hopefully we can have her back. I know she's up for it.
Yeah. Now, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how things progress as they go on. You know, it sounds like she's learning families, you know, and names, and everything's probably getting extremely familiar by this point. And it'll be interesting to see toward the end of the school year, you know, how all of that kind of morphs and how they streamline everything. Again, you know, kudos to the school district for, you know, running such an amazing program, and then people like her for actually implementing it, you know?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, leading into next week, what are some things you've been doing to pass the time? Because I know we've been sitting at home, stuck.
Yeah, I've been reading. I've been watching a lot of other documentaries. Some TV series. And talking to friends, catching up, you know. But more or less, I have my day job still. You know, I'm still a speech pathologist. It's just my job has changed a little bit. I'll meet with kids over Zoom or the telephone, or I'm sending work home. And then I still teach at the university, so that's happening by Zoom, obviously. So those things are all keeping me pretty busy. You know, you and I, off the record earlier, were talking, and I just said the time has just been going by fast. It's like I wake up every morning and it's Sunday again. You know, so it's just been, for me, from my perspective, time is just moving.
Thank you for joining me on this episode, and then hopefully we get a lot of good feedback and some call-ins on what people are doing with I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that are doing different creative things, learning something new, watching something new, going somewhere new. I had an idea, and let me tell you what you think about it. Do you think this is crazy? But I was thinking of like a geological checklist. It's like, I know we can't get out and parks are closed and a lot of things are closed, but at least having like, let's hit this bay and just get there, check it off the list. Let's hit this viewpoint, you know, Mount Baldy or something like that. Just having like places to go.
Yeah.
Just having an agenda.
I like it. Like a geography scavenger hunt.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. Is that still alive? Is that still alive? No, what is that called again? There's a word for that. There was like an app or something where you like take a package or something and you leave it somewhere and then you mark it on a map and then other people, they go, you've never heard of that before?
Oh no. See, I'm not as cool as you, dude. I'm way out. I've never heard of that. You work, you know, I work with teenagers too, but you work with them in a different capacity and you hear about all the cool stuff going on. Trust me, I don't.
Okay. I wish you were, well, anyways, thank you for joining me. This is really awesome. Yeah, hopefully we can get together again.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And I think it's a really important thing that you're documenting here. So thank you for taking the time to do it.
Okay, take care. Thanks for listening to Voices of Berendo. If you have any feedback, suggestions, or ideas related to anything we discussed, shoot us an email at voicesofberendo@gmail.com or visit us at anchor.fm/voicesofberendo. Click the plus sign and leave us an audio message.
Hello, my name is Peter Ayala. I teach in middle school. I think I teach the best subjects, the most interesting subjects. And I like Star Wars. I like Star Wars. I like Disneyland. I like elephants. What can I say?